compassionate, patient-centered quality healthcare is our mission at Shasta Regional Medical Center. Providing superior clinical excellence across a wide array of specialties is why Shasta Regional is ranked as one of America's top 100 hospitals for the second year in a row and named again as a top 50 cardiovascular hospital. We are proud to be recognized as a leader for quality care and patient outcomes, and for our commitment to treating people well in our community. Taking a kinder, more gentle approach to wellness is an important part of healthcare. We strive to make minimally invasive diagnostic and treatment decisions whenever possible, helping patients receive the best care available, resulting in quicker recovery and a rapid return to normal activities. At Shasta Regional, our physicians, nurses, and staff emphasize treating the whole person and not simply the ailment, resulting in the highest level of care. We know medical care can change the body, but treating people well can change lives.
As gun laws continue to tighten up across the country, Bastiani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearm specialist. The good guys at Bastiani Arms are real gun enthusiasts with two full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Bastiani Arms is stocked up on hard-to-find ammo, 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stoke has over 20 years' experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Bastiani Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bastiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane and Wall Street in Reading. Join the revolution.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Don't label us left or right.
We are American.
Not looking for a war, but we came to fight.
We are American.
Somebody's gotta stand up.
Stand up.
Somebody's gotta do what's right. We're rising cause we're fed up.
Fed
got our house in order and got yours inside.
Yeah, that's what we are, Americans, we're flying into the studio here. Welcome to Sovereign Minds. Good morning, Sovereign Minds.
Good morning.
Everybody here in the studio, I'm with my sister, Linda.
Good morning.
Good morning, and we have Bob, our producer, our board operator, soundboard, all-around great guy, and all of that stuff. How you doing, Bob?
Good, Mark, and good morning, Linda. How are
good
you both?
Morning. We're doing good.
Morning. And we also have a special guest with us, and it's Payesh Dhanuka. I think I actually got it right that time. That's because I wrote it.
I wasn't even going to try that one.
That's because I wrote it down.
You better get used to this if you're going to invite me on your radio.
I know. I just better know your name, you know.
No, it's just fine. You know what? It's not easy. I wonder why my parents named me that. Such a difficult name. Could have made it simpler, right? One or two or three.
It's probably simple in India.
Even for Indians, it's not simple, actually.
Oh, okay.
So good parents morning. Just do strange things sometimes.
Good morning, and thank you for asking me to join you. It's an honor for me to be here with you, two of you.
Well, we appreciate it. So with that, let's do a little housekeeping. We talked about what we're going to talk about just before we got on the air here, and I'm going to run a clip of Greg Hunter in the USA Watchdog, the Friday Roundup, and that will give us a lot of stuff to talk about just off of that, and then we can kind of go from there. Sovereign Mind Radio has been trying to, you know, give you guys the information that nobody else will talk about for, you know, a couple, well, we've been on the radio, 4 or 5 years now? I don't even know. And, So, you know, that's what we're going to do is we're going to continue to give you the stories that the mainstream media won't give you. With that, we want to – let's get our housekeeping out of the way. Have you got any veterans events?
I do. Actually, there's quite a few things coming up. On May 16th, we have Armed Force Day. We'll be serving dinner over at the Veterans Hall from 1 to 4 for all the veterans and their family. And then, we have Memorial Day coming up at the end of the month. So we have different services and ceremonies going on with that. We have one out at the cemetery. And then they also have one down at Veterans Grove by the Civic Center. I got Camp for Life coming up.
I was going to say, I know you got Camp for Life coming up.
Camp for Life. That's where we do the camp for all the – there's about 15 families with terminally ill children. And we cook and – take them out to Whiskey Town and let them do whatever they want, whether they want to raft or swim, and give them some good time.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a great time out there.
Very good.
And then on June 21st through July 11th at the Mount Shasta Mall, they're going to be having post 9/11 pictures of the warriors from California out there. So all the veterans post 9/11, they'll have a memorial wall out there for them at the Mount Shasta Mall. So the ceremony, the opening ceremony is on June 21st at 2 p.m. if you want to attend that. And I'll keep reminding you about that.
All right. Very good. I just want to let everybody know we're streaming worldwide. You can go to the chat room at KCNR1460.com or call in at 530-605-4567. Again, that's 530-605-4567. All of our shows are podcast and archived as well. You can friend me on Facebook at Sovereign Minds. I will answer the request. If you're not from Bangladesh or somebody trying to solicit money,
good luck with that one.
I get a few of those. It's the other ones is the ones that are trying to solicit other things. So anyway, there we go. Tea Party meets every Monday night, and they stand for limited government fiscal responsibility, adherence to the Constitution, and contrary to popular belief, they're still operating and doing business every
going
week.
Strong.
Going strong. We've got Jefferson State of Mind just before us on Saturdays. It was on Saturdays at 8 a.m. Now it's on Sundays at 8 a.m. to 9, and we go from 9 to 11. See, I say that was a save. And so I don't have a quote today, but what I'd like to do is we got this weekly roundup from Greg Hunter keyed up. Let's listen to that. We'll go to the break, and then we'll come back. And I think that'll give us a bunch of stuff to talk about.
All right, here we go.
I'm Greg Hunter. This is the weekly news wrap-up for May 1st, 2015, coming to you from a farm in Missouri. Give you a little crop report at the end of this. But first up, I want to talk to you about the U.S. and Iranian navies. It looked like they may be headed for a confrontation or getting close to it. You know, we had that thing last week where, a carrier group, Theodore Roosevelt, was sent to, off the coast of Yemen to intercept some Iranian supply ships who are supposed to be resupplying the Shia Houthi rebels in Yemen. Of course, Saudi Arabia, the U.S. stated ally, is going after them tooth and nail, trying to bring order back into the country. They definitely don't want it to fall to the Al-Qaeda terrorists in Yemen, or the Houthi rebels, who are also terrorists, to the Iranians. And so now we have an incident where they supposedly, erroneously, it was reported that the Iranians had boarded a U.S. flagged ship. They did not. But out of abundance of course caution, now the U.S. Navy is going to be escorting vessels through the Strait of Hormuz. It's only about 30 miles wide, and 35% of all the oil in the world shipped by sea comes through the Strait of Hormuz. And so we have a situation where, the U.S. is involved near the Persian Gulf now. Also, they were involved off the coast of Yemen, although they have left. The Iranians, are upset that the Saudis and other Sunni Arab coalition has an air and a sea blockade around Yemen trying to stabilize it. The Iranians say they are not supporting the Houthi rebels. The Sunni Muslims are saying, yes, you do. You're supporting the Houthi rebels and you're destabilizing, that area. But at any rate, things are tense between the U.S. and Iran, which I don't understand why this isn't talked about at the the table instead of, you know, including this in their nuclear discussions, but they don't talk about any of this stuff. You just send the whole Navy out to intercept them. Unbelievable. It sounds bizarre to me, but at any rate, that situation has not settled down a bit. That is a tinderbox out there in the, you know, near Yemen and also in the Strait of Hormuz in the Persian Gulf, and the U.S. Navy is involved. And let's hope they don't get into a confrontation with the Iranians, because I think it would be a disaster. First quarter GDP came in at a whopping, a dismal 0.2%, and here is the paper talking about how, you know, dismal this whole deal is, that it wasn't really much of any kind of a, you know, the economy sputters, that's what it's saying. 0.2% growth in the first quarter. This after they predicted that it would be 1%, but, you know, listen, people like Paul Craig Roberts and also John Williams at ShadowStats.com, people like Greg Mannarino, who's going to be up next, have been saying, listen, the economy is tail-spinning. It's going down. They printed all this money. They handed it to the banks. It didn't get to Main Street. We did not have a recovery on Main Street, and as I've been saying for 5 years, there is no real recovery for Main Street. There is no recovery. There was some stabilization, as John Williams says, some bottom bouncing. There's no recovery, and 0.2% growth is not growth, especially when you factor in any kind of inflation, even the Fed's phony inflation, you've got a contraction. And that brings me to my next story, and that's Baltimore. You think Baltimore is just about police brutality? I don't think so. I think it's about a bad economy. I think it's about an economy where we outsource jobs. And if you take a look at this headline here, and it says, you know, violence takes hold. It's in the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, and they're talking, you know, they're throwing bottles and rocks and all kinds of stuff, you know, in Detroit. And I think it's about a bad economy. It's about African Americans having double the unemployment rate as the white people do. I mean, if you look at that's if the official numbers, you know, it's 12%. The official, it's probably 30% or 40%. If you take a look at youth unemployment in the black community, it's astronomical. It's unbelievable. And this is like Ferguson. If the president really wanted to do something about it, he wouldn't send somebody like, you know, Al Sharpton or Jesse Jackson. He'd try to figure out how to reinvigorate the city instead of offshoring all these jobs and handing out trillions of dollars to bankers. And that, at its core, is what this is really about. Civil unrest, and it's only going to get worse. The economy's not getting better. The Fed came out and said they weren't going to raise rates. Surprise, well, not really a surprise to me. They're not going to raise rates. The economy's in dismal shape, and they know what we know. It's not getting better. Now, and this is not going to make it any better. This is another story out of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, because I'm in Missouri. Bizarro deal, they're talking about the Trans-Pacific Partnership, the TTP. The deal's being negotiated in a large part, according to many people like Bernie Sanders, the socialist or independent up in from, I think, Vermont. He's saying the thing's being negotiated in secret, and it is a bad deal for a union, a bad deal for our sovereignty. It's not a good deal. Lots of Democrats are against it. At least 60 Republicans in the House are against it. Not good for our sovereignty. You know, this deal could override our laws in our country, and we would be subservient to this deal. A lot of people do not like it. And this fast track authority is going to give the president, you know, a fast track to negotiate it. And if this is going to be negotiated anyway, like the curtailing of the Iranian nuclear program, it'll be a disaster. Absolute disaster. Lots of people love it. Lots more people hate it. It's going to have a tough time making it through Congress. The White House had a big laugh. The White House press corps had a big laugh this week at the expense of Texas Governor Greg Abbott. I mean, Greg Abbott is taking his state National Guard. He's going to keep an eye on the upcoming Jade Helm military operation, where all these special forces are going to be fit in with the public and, you know, kind of learn and help them. A lot of people say that's all balderdash, and that really is a dress rehearsal for martial law, because the economy is going to fall out of bed maybe as early as this fall. And that's, it's going to be in the months of August and September, and it's going to end about the middle of September. Ah, just when most crashes happen, September, October time frame. But anyway, the Texas governor, Greg Abbott, was basically laughed at by the press secretary and other people in the press corps because he's going to keep an eye, and he's worried about his citizen sovereignty and his state's sovereignty, and he's going to keep an eye on the participants of Jade Helm. Now, a lot of people ask me, why don't you talk more about Jade Helm? Because I don't know much about it other than that it's this military exercise. It's got this PDF. They have a lot of happy words about helping the public. And I know I've been following the economy. I think it's a big story of our lifetime. And I think the economy is doing bad. I mean, look at the latest growth numbers. They're bad. And that's with trillions of printed dollars and phony accounting and buying bonds and quantitative easing. And it's not growing and it's not working. And it comes a point when, you know, it's already not working and it's going to be contracting and you think Baltimore's bad. Now we might have, you know, a world of Baltimores and Fergusons when this thing falls out of bed. But there's not a lot, you know, being done out in the open. And listen, no conspiracy is true until it's officially denied. I think Josh Earnest just officially denied it and had a little laugh, you know, with the Texas governor, who was a former attorney general in the state of Texas. He's no kook. Smart guy. And if this does turn out to be a dress rehearsal for, you know, martial law, then you could just add it to the list of lies the Obama administration would like to tell. But, you know, listen, if I was in the White House press corps, I would ask a couple of questions. Number one, why the name Jade Helm 15? I know it's 2015, but why Jade Helm? Some people think it's China at the helm, China in control in 2015. And they didn't just, you know, get these names and pull them out of a hat at random, like, you know, Kangaroo Basketball 15, or, you know, Blades of Grass, you know, the color green and blue 15. I mean, Jade Helm 15, why? The other thing is, why the creepy slogan that goes with it? Could you explain this? I'd ask Josh Earnest. Could you explain why the slogan, Master of the Human Domain? I mean, that's creepy. Why the creepy slogan? And that's the problem with the White House press corps. Nobody asks any real questions. And when somebody does, hey, is this some sort of a dress rehearsal for, you know, martial law? It's, I don't know what the governor's thinking. Well, he's not stupid. And as I said, he's a former attorney general in the state of Texas. And he was voted in overwhelmingly by Texas. It wasn't even a close election. So, you know, that's just how the mainstream media treats, you know, the general public. And there is no real media anymore that's asking any questions. I know there's bugs all over. I'm on this farm in Missouri. But and I wanted to just get to, this is planting season in Missouri. Behind me, a cornfield. Yeah, it's probably, it's going to be beans because they rotate corn to beans, beans to corn. They rotate that, and that's around here, everybody is just going full bore. This is the first time they've had, you know, a dry out period in a while. It's been raining like crazy, and I see a lot of disking. I mean, some of these discs, some of these, the machinery here is like moon walking huge. I mean, tires are way above your head, front and back. They're pulling a 30-foot wide disc, and they're trying to, you know, even out the field and trying to take the ruts out of the field from all the water. And as driving out here from the East Coast, I mean, lots of water, lots of green, you know, lots of a good farming going out, but boy, you get out past Missouri, you get out into Kansas, you some places in Texas, and that's subsided some, but out in Oklahoma, Nebraska, especially out in the Southwest, California is ground zero for no water. I mean, when you think that NASA about a month ago said California has about a year left of water, it's dire. It's horrible. I've been covering this, and people have been, you know, making comments about how terrible it is and why the governor, Jerry Brown, is so far behind the curve. Now he's like, oh, I'm going to fine people $10,000 if you're wasting water. I mean, maybe they should give up building a stadium and this crazy, you know, a train line that they want to build, high-speed rail out there, and maybe divert that to drilling wells and try to desalinize or something. I mean, I don't know what it is, but he is way behind the curve. I mean, if you wait until NASA says, oh, by the way, your state of 38 million people has about a year's worth of water left. And as far as I can tell, it's about 11 months and counting. I hope they get rain out there. Nobody deserves to be, the thirst to death in the United States, but it's not looking good out there. But it's the tale of two different, farming communities. Out west, it's dry. It's terrible. They're rationing water. Out east, they got way too much water, and they're planting lots of crops. I'm Greg Hunter. Thank you for supporting USA Watchdog with your comments. Got some of the smartest people on the Internet here. Also, your donations. That helps us out. Here's my favorite part. Remember, fear not. Prepare yourself physically, mentally, and above all, spiritually. Fear not.
There's Greg Hunter for you, the weekly wrap-up. I don't play him all the time, but sometimes his relevancy is amazing, and he is a journalist, actually.
Concept.
He used to work for CBS, and he actually does investigative journalism. And so, with that, let's go to the break, and then we'll come back with our guests. And I'll tell you what, did that give us plenty to talk about?
If you want to call in, the number here is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR 1460.
Find a network wanting to treat me right. Y'all can take the change and stick it out of sight. Don't tread on me. Don't you tread on me. Hey, are you ready for some good news? We're gonna take back our country.
Using junk science that wouldn't even meet the standards of a high school science fair. California Air Resources Board and the Environmental Protection Agency have written regulations that are devastating the California economy. They are costing people their jobs, their homes, their livelihoods, and their families. This must be stopped. Help us continue the fight against CARB. Go to StandAndFightClubInc.com now and contribute to keep the fight going.
Jim Gaffigan, live.
I've never eaten a hot pocket and then afterwards been...
Contagious Tour.
I was like, I'm gonna die. I paid for that?
You've seen his comedy specials, Mr. Universe and Obsessed. Now see him live, July 21st, on stage at the Reading Civic Auditorium.
I was at this seafood restaurant, and this guy came over to our table.
You're not eating lobster. Is there a reason why you're not eating lobster?
And I was like, I thought I'd order what I want.
A night of all new material.
Lobster tail? Is that the area near the butt?
Mm-hmm. That's what I want, a little turf and bug butt.
Jim Gaffigan in an all-ages show.
I'm looking around.
Do that, Victoria's Secret.
See what you ladies are buying.
Where's all the angels? Where's the open bar?
Reserve seats are on sale now. Available online at ReadingCivic.com, the box office, or by phone.
Me and my ladies undies.
Jim Gaffigan, July 21st, the Reading Civic Auditorium.
Hi, Mark Story here to let you know that Haven Humane Society is taking great pride in serving the pet population and pet owners in the community. As CEO of Haven Humane, I invite everyone to check out our new adoption center and all the programs we have in place to help the animals in our care find their forever homes. And our spay-neuter clinic is also here to offer those families on a fixed income pet vaccinations and spay-neuter services. Contact Haven Humane at 241-1653 or visit us, East Side Road off of 273.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Fire Community Radio for the North State. That's Toto. Hold the line, and I think that's pretty appropriate.
In a lot of ways, folks. Hold the line.
We're talking over the break about, you know, all of these things that Greg went over are symptoms of a bigger issue. They are symptoms of the bigger problem, which is that we are no longer sovereign. We no longer are the controller of the government. It's not we, the people, in charge anymore. It's a big government.
It's we, the government.
It's we, the government, in charge, telling us what to do. And that's the problem that we need to face. And, you know, these other things are all stuff that we want to talk about, you want to be aware of, you want to be informed of. But how many people still believe that we're sovereign citizens? And how many, and in fact, are we sovereign citizens anymore? And why is that a problem?
Well, I wonder how many people out there even think about it, like a lot of the younger people. Do they even think along those lines?
So,
well, with that, but I'm punch.
We kind of put you on the spot there.
Right, right. No, absolutely. I love it. So, as we were talking a little bit during the break, we have forgotten what this country was built on. And I say this coming from outside, having grown up in India and having moved to U.S. in my adult age of 25 and not knowing what the difference was. But one thing has always bothered me is, and always had this question was, what makes certain civilizations great and what makes certain civilizations stay in the pits? Mm-hmm. And I tried to find the answer to that question. And the reason I'm giving you a little bit of background is because, as you just said, that there is a problem, which is a common core problem, and all these issues which we are seeing are the symptoms of it. So that's why, just hear me out for a moment, that what is the common thread which runs in great civilizations and versus those which are in the pits? And what I realized over time was, over 10, 15 years of my life's journey through India and in America, was that the bottom line is individual sovereignty. And there has always been a struggle between individual sovereignty versus collective tyranny. And over the history, man has always tried to rule other men. That's one of the strongest desire. That's one of the most evil desire of man, to rule over other people's lives. Unfortunately, that's only possible if few men rule over majority of other people. And that has come in different forms, whether it comes in the form of empires, whether it came in form of Nazi regime, whether it came in form of warlords. Whereas America was built on this concept that every individual is the sovereign of his domain. Mm-hmm. And only reason we agree to a common governing mechanism is so that we do not intrude on other people's space, we do not rule over other people, and only way we exchange the fruits of our labor is by a fair trade, rather than by force or by fraud.
Yeah, I think it goes, you know, I keep hearing the definition of freedom or liberty is what we're looking for. Our sovereignty is that it's freedom with morality.
Yes.
In other words, you can't just be free to do whatever you want and rob liquor stores. You know, that's not freedom. In a free country where we have a civilized society, you have to temper that with morality.
Right.
You have to care about your neighbor. You know, what we've got here is we're giving everything to the federal government to administer, and the real deal is that they're not going to administer it very well at all. So, and historically, that's always been the case. It's not like it's something new. You know,
they can't distribute morality, though. Really,
it,
I mean,
no. It has to be something that's in the. You know, I think Madison said it really well. He said, "If men were angels, we wouldn't need a constitution to bind them down with the chains of a law and the rule of law." So. That's what we're talking about here, is that people have to understand in order to be free, in order to have liberty, you have to be actively involved in controlling your government.
Right.
Absolutely. And you stole my thunder in a way. No, that's all right. Because I was going to talk about that issue of morality in a little bit more.
Well, we can still talk about morality because it's very important that we do.
Yeah, absolutely. And if I can add to that, now we are on that, that is absolutely right. Without morality, freedom is pointless because eventually someone else will, if you step on someone else's toes today, someone else will step on your toe tomorrow. And that's right. Why the morality is important. Without morality, no system will survive for the benefit of individuals.
And I think that's why it's important for the people who are trying to rule a country to debase the morality of the people. It's Machiavelli, I believe, said it was the first thing that they attack is they try to debase everybody's morality with sex, drugs, rock and roll, you know, whatever it is, so that the people need masters.
Yeah. And if I can add to that, where is the morality? And that's a key question. What is morality?
Right.
And in some ways, our definitions of morality and social norms changes with times, which was considered to be moral yesterday may not be considered moral tomorrow, or vice versa. However, what I have, and this is all my experience, and what I'm talking from is all from my experience, and not from any ideology, and not from any agenda. It's all what I've learned over time from my experiences. And I feel the morality is in love. It's in love for other human beings. Morality is in love for life. And the best example of that was set by Jesus Christ.
Well, there you have it. I got it written down right there.
Sorry to steal your thunder now.
See, I guess I crossed that one off now, too. Might say the golden rule there. I guess I crossed that right off there. I'm sorry to interrupt.
That's absolutely fine. Well, it's great minds think alike. No. That was just supposed to be a joke, not really mean that we are great. But the reality is this, if you learn from that example, which is that thou shalt not judge others. Thou shalt not. In fact, I mean, if you see the Jesus examples, that even when he's tortured and even when he's crucified, he still forgives his enemies. He still forgives his tormentor. Of course, and I'm not that. I'm made in flesh and blood. I want revenge when someone wrongs me.
Sure.
But I am at least inspired by his example, and if a slight, just a slight inspiration is enough to make us a better person. And just a slight inspiration from that over mass numbers of billions of people can make the world a little bit better. So that's what I wanted to infuse, that we have to remember that. And that morality is in love for other human beings.
Well, it's the golden rule. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you.
Yep.
And that is a very civil way to have society. You can't have everybody trying to get, you know, that what we got now in a lot of cases is it's all about me. It's all about what, you know.
What makes me feel good.
Well, and what's in it for me. I don't care about you, but what's in it for me. And when you have a society of like that where the morality's been debased to that point, then nobody has a very good life and the government steps in typically controls everyone by design. If you ask me, this is the design of the.
It's absolutely
rules.
That's the purpose of it. That's not a side effect. That's not an unintended consequence. That's a purpose of the design, to control masses by debasing their morality and by dividing them. And we want to talk more about that further. That how that is done, the mechanisms of it, and we need to go into the details of that. How from that point we lead to the problems, what we see them as symptoms today, and we can keep tackling each and every problem separately. Baltimore, dollar, inflation, unemployment, asset seizure, the sentencing problems, all these problems we can keep dealing with, but we have to realize they all stem from there. So I wanted to make that very clear. That's
sure.
Not
yes.
The problem.
Sure, we want to take and tackle each one of these problems. And I think the Ten Commandments, and even if you're not religious, I mean, I'm not even necessarily coming from a religious standpoint here. What I'm saying is that you have to have some rules in society for everybody to get along, and it has to be voluntary.
Right.
It can't be imposed.
It can't be forced.
It can't be forced.
You cannot.
That's right. And how do you get that? You get that through education. Part of the reason that we're here is our education system has been taken over by left-wing radical Marxists through the school systems. And little by little over time, they've introduced this non-morality way of thinking so that it's permeated throughout society. And now what we want to do is just take care of me. And you can see it at the levels, you know, you don't have statesmen anymore. You have politicians who profess to be doing stuff for the good of everybody.
Yeah, they say it's for the good of us, but they create a system where there's guidelines for all of us down below. At the same time, they're opening everything up where there is no foundation,
because
no nothing.
Because they are not us.
Right.
They are not us.
Right.
That's what we have to remember.
Yeah.
They are different right now.
Well, it's the selective cronyism. It's the selective, oh, gee, we're gonna help the blacks over the whites. Well, what that does is divide the blacks and the whites, just like we're talking
about.
That's
the purpose of it.
We're going to help the rich over the poor. Well, that divides the rich and the poor, and that's what it's the politics of division, and they have to permeate that, because then you got the guys that are poor thinking, well, you know, those rich guys, they can afford to give it up. But what they don't realize is in the process, you are giving up everybody's rights, because when
there's
I can take,
included.
That's right. There's included, because when I can take one person's rights away from them, I can take everybody's rights away from them. And as long as I can compete, have everybody fighting amongst themselves while I'm doing this, then I end up controlling everyone and everything. And that's the politics that we're following right now.
Yes. And that's a dangerous highway.
Yeah. You're absolutely right. The whole purpose of a man who is an evil man is to rule other people. How do they do that? And you have to think like that for a minute.
It's hard to do, but yeah.
But it's hard to do, but you have to understand your enemy first.
I agree.
We have to be very clear that evil is our enemy, and that evil in some way resides in heart of each one of us to some degree. And we may make a choice to follow that or follow the good side of something better, which also resides in each one of us.
Right.
And that battle between that evil and the good is an eternal battle in some ways. And I'm not even talking about the religious subtext here, but that's actually true in our psychology. Most people just want to have a decent life for themselves and for the people they love.
And be left alone.
And be left alone, which is their family. However, in some people, this degree of evil takes preeminence and they want to control others.
Thus the attraction of politics.
That is like a Lord of the Ring movie, if you remember that.
That's exactly
that,
right.
The power, the precious power. And even a nice little hobbit becomes Gollum if he holds on to the ring too long.
Yes, it's absolutely true.
And that's the attraction of power. It corrupts. It corrupts our mind. However, how do we balance this need of morality with the need of individual sovereignty? And that balance is very difficult to achieve inside our own heart. However, it's even much more difficult when you're talking about millions and hundreds of millions of people. And to come up with a system which balances individual sovereignty, but it still keeps it moral. So how do we reach that? And that's an experiment which took place during the foundation of this nation.
Yes.
And that experiment brought the world out of the dark ages. For thousands of years.
What people think now a lot of times, because of their educational that they've had, you know, they've been taught that the founding fathers are a bunch of rich white slave owners who didn't care about anybody. And that's so far from the truth. It's the first time in the history of the world where it all came together, where they said that we are going to create a system, a government that frees man for eternity. All men, not just white guys. All men. And
everybody.
It took time to get that system implemented.
Absolutely.
And the reason that we're here today in the situation that we're in is we quit following the model.
Yep.
Because the evil will come back. It will come back. It will try to recapture the power again and again and again.
Well, that's what I think it was Jackson said, that the price of liberty is eternal vigilance.
Eternal vigil. So when this nation was founded and... It wasn't a, like a miracle out of blue, right?
No, they had to work at it.
They had to work at it. And it was built upon hundreds of years of learning and human advancement, the background of enlightenment.
Yeah, a good place to go to get that history is to go to Chris Ann Hall, who's a constitutional attorney out of Florida, who's mapped this out. She's gone all the way back past, you know, the Magna Carta and all the documents and way back to show the progression of liberty, how it started and the spark of freedom became the liberty that we know.
And like
in
you
the
say,
United
there was
States.
Always evil, even back then, that they were fighting against constantly trying
Absolutely.
To make this happen.
Absolutely. And sometimes, and the beauty is, we don't hold them as gods because we think that, yes, these men were not gods. These men were not perfect who built this nation. They were founding fathers. Even they were not perfect. However, they overcame their own imperfections to build something better.
Right.
And they set in motion a system with inbuilt mechanism to improve itself.
Right.
And they what they say was that we are not perfect. They said we want to make a more perfect union. What that means is we're always trying to improve, right. striving to get better and better and better. European Enlightenment had a lot to do with that. It was something which kind of was a kind of a foundation for that. However, the culmination of those Enlightenment over hundreds and thousands of years was the experiment of America. And it became a leading light. It became the light which guided so many other civilizations, so many other people, so many other country, by what? Not by its power, not by its money. But America's power and money today are the result of that founding principles.
Well, you know, we're right up until 1913, when we got the central bank and we got the bastardization of our monetary policy and system, you're absolutely right. You know, and a good reference is look at what Andrew Jackson said on his deathbed. They asked him what his greatest accomplishment was, and he said he killed the bank.
Yeah, he did it several times, not once.
Yeah. So once we got the bank started, that's when we started the downfall because that, you know, a central bank is one of, I believe, the fifth platform of the Communist Manifesto. Yeah. We didn't have a central bank before that.
Yes.
And we started that is the huge platform for them to springboard their policies into Absolutely. America. So with that, we probably need to go to a break.
Okay.
That was a pretty heavy, pretty cerebral there.
Yeah. And so if you want to call in and have a question or a comment on our subject today, the number here is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR 1460.
Thanks to citizens like you and your contributions to StandAndFightClubInc.com, January 30th and 31st, the first steps were taken to push back the California Air Resource Board and their regulations that are devastating the California economy. But now is not the time to give up the fight. Now is time to double down. Go to StandAndFightClubInc.com and you keep the contributions going and we'll keep the punches coming.
Hi, I'm Kayla, and they call me the Mouse.
And I'm Red, they call me the Bear. How's California working out for you? Want to change it for the better?
Wake up to your chemical sunrise and tune in to the Jefferson State of Mind.
We'll be discussing representation, regulations, and restoring our republic.
Catch us here every Sunday morning from 8 to 9.
On KCNR 1460.
I feel no shame, I'm proud of where I came from. I was born and raised in the boondocks.
Howdy, folks. Nate Abarea here. Join me every Sunday at 2 p.m. for Destination North State. Each hour-long show will be direct from special spots in the heart of Northern California, featuring the people and the places that make this region so unique. You'll hear the beautiful and the gritty sides of the North State that we call our own. Made possible by Muse Concrete, Palomar Builders, and Yaks on the Five in Dunsmuir. It's Destination North State every Sunday at 2 p.m. right here on KCNR 1460.
Summer is here, and it's time to enjoy the great outdoors. Whether you're headed to the lake, Bernie Falls, going fishing, or throwing a barbecue, Mighty Fine Foods is your one-stop shop for summer fun. Stop by the meat department for the best prices around and try our own country sausage made in-store. Mighty Fine has over 1,000 drinks to choose from, and we barbecue every Friday all summer long. So take up a tri-tip, rack of ribs, barbecue chicken, or a Polish dog. Stop by the deli for fried chicken or a sandwich made just the way you like it. We are a locally owned and operated family company at 299 and Deschutes in Bella Vista. Mighty Fine Foods, your one-stop shop on the way to the lake.
Relive the glitz, glamour, and glorious music of the 70s and 80s at the Cascade Theater as the Riverfront Playhouse Capital Campaign presents Remember When Rock Was Young, the Elton John tribute starring Craig A. Meyer and the Rocket Band. A celebration of the character, costumes, and charisma of the famed pianist and singer, this fully produced show will captivate you on Thursday, May 7th. Call 243-8877 for ticket information or log on to cascadetheater.org for one unforgettable evening you'll remember when rock was young.
Hi, Mark Story here to let you know that Haven Humane Society is taking great pride in serving the pet population and pet owners in the community. As CEO of Haven Humane, I invite everyone to check out our new adoption center and all the programs we have in place to help the animals in our care find their forever homes. And our spay-neuter clinic is also here to offer those families on a fixed income pet vaccinations and spay and neuter services. Contact Haven Humane at 241-1653 or visit us East Side Road off of 273.
KCNR, 1460 AM, the most local programming in Northern California.
Sunshine, lollipops, and rainbows. Everything that's wonderful is what I feel when we're together. Brighter than a lucky penny when you're near. The rain goes, disappears, dear, and I feel so fine. Just to know that you are mine. My life is sunshine, lollipops, and rainbows. That's how this ring goes. So come on, join in. Everybody, sunshine, lollipops, and rainbows. Everything that's wonderful is sure to come your way when you're in love to stay.
Yeah, sunshine's lollipops and rainbows. My favorite. You know?
This isn't San Francisco.
You can't make this stuff up. I mean, you know, it's an incredibly powerful discussion that we're having on and off the air.
Yeah, it definitely is.
So I want to hit a couple of the actual stories here. One of them is J.P. Morgan prepares, excuse me, and is a question, prepares for global war, unprecedented silver accumulation. Now, how do you put those two together, number one? You need to read the story, probably. This comes from Pravda at .ru, you know, so Pravda.ru, Pravda meaning truth in Russian. And what's interesting is that Pravda probably in Russia gives us more truth than
what we get here in this country.
New York Times.
That's ironic.
How crazy is that? I know.
That's scary.
So silver stockpile of the largest U.S. bank and major provider of financial services, J.P. Morgan Chase, has increased drastically for the last 3 years. In 2012, the amount of physical silver was 5 million ounces, while in the current year it has increased more than tenfold to 55 million ounces. So it is probably the biggest silver hoard in the history of the world. Now, a lot of people ask me, how come the silver prices never go up? Well, there's your answer right there. They have been suppressing the prices through algorithms. It's absolutely proof now of it. You know, go to Zero Hedge and look at the headline, gold manipulators busted after Zero Hedge reported on flagrant gold spoofing. They've been doing this with gold and silver. So they've been suppressing the price since 2012 or earlier. And what have they been doing? They've been buying up the silver at record low prices.
Until they get their share.
Well, and the key here is, here's a, you know, there's a letter from J.C. Morgan Chase Chairman Jamie Dimon to his shareholders. And in it, he stated, some things never change. There will be another crisis, and its impact will be felt by the financial markets. That's echoing Alan Greenspan saying that a crisis is coming, echoing all of the people who are understanding the problem here, that there is going to be a collapse here pretty soon at some point. We don't know when, because you know, it's like driving a ship under the ocean. You can see, you know, you see the island way off in the ocean, and you set your engine at 3 miles per hour, but you don't factor in the tides or the wind or everything. So you know that if you keep chugging towards the island, you're going to get there sooner or later. The exact moment that you touch the sand is very hard to predict, because there are things that you can't calculate that change constantly, the variables. So we know it's coming, because you can't keep spending money. You can't keep you know, borrowing money. You can't keep handing more and more of your debt to other countries to hold, so that they can, you know, foreclose on you, basically. Now, there is another crisis coming, and so why is J.P. Morgan accumulating this massive hoard of silver? For the last the last 2 weeks, J.P. Morgan has accumulated more than 8 million physical ounces of silver in 2 weeks. Are they buying it up now? With that, how come the price doesn't go up?
Well, why would they want the price to go up?
Well, they don't until after
until they get their share. That's what I would say.
Until they get everything they can possibly get.
Me, as long as I have mine.
In addition to this, J.P. Morgan is restricted the use of cash for selected markets, and went so far as to restrict its clients from using cash for credit card payments, mortgages, equity lines, and auto loans. There will be also no ability to store cash in its safety deposit boxes. Now, does that sound like normal banking operations?
It's crazy. I know firsthand. I went to deposit cash into somebody's account, and they told me I couldn't do it.
So
it's starting to happen, and it's not normal.
One of the cornerstones of a free society is free money. And I don't see free money. I'm not talking about the giveaways down there at the cheese factory.
Dang it.
I'm talking about the money itself is free from counterfeiting, government intervention. See, that's why these guys want to keep you in their digits in the computer, and because they can totally control the digits in the computer, whereas the store of value in gold or silver can be pulled out of the monetary system, free from taxes, free from debasement, free from confiscation, and that is why
they lose control.
Lose control, and that is why people, how are you going to spend it, blah, 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 blah. Why do you think the founding fathers put in the Constitution that only gold and silver were legal tender?
Well, why? We have come far away from that. Now we have the legal tender is just number of digits.
Yeah, yep. We just type them in the computer, and I lend them to you at interest. And that way I can steal all your property if I got the computer that's typing all the digits.
If I'm J.P. Morgan, I can just keep putting zeros or taking them away from you.
They are actually creating money out of thin air through the fractional banking system. Most people think it's just the Fed. No, the Fed is creating treasury bonds, and they're selling these treasury bonds, and some of them they sell to the Federal Reserve private bank, who then does print the money out of the thin air and buy the treasury bonds. But a lot of the money that's being created is through fractional reserve banking, where if you deposit $100 into a bank, J.P. Morgan, for example, it can then lend out $90 of that 100 that you put in the bank, and they can do that over and over and over again, to where $100 then becomes $1,000 of digital entries, and the original $100 is bank credit.
Yeah, what you're talking about probably is the reserve ratio.
Absolutely, and that differs from I'm using the 1-in-10 example,
right.
It varies.
But actually, the reserve ratio of most banks is around 7%.
Right.
So 1-in-13. So that's how they multiply the money.
Right.
For themselves. And that's completely legal. Actually.
Think about that for a second.
I know, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. It's interesting that it's completely legal, because the way to profit from the system is if you can manipulate the system in your favor.
Create debt.
right?
That's right. And money is now debt, which is exactly the opposite of what money should be, a fixed amount, non-manipulative. You can't grow it out of thin air.
Well, you sound very right. However, how would anyone control people, hundreds of millions of people, unless they can actually issue the money themselves?
I know. Their own
will.
I mean, we're joking about it, but
it's not funny at all.
This
folks.
Is how they're doing it. They're controlling the people by debasing the currency and stealing the wealth out from under and funding all of these programs. And until we stop that, this continues. This is the dirty secret of the statists that nobody wants to talk about because it's the cornerstone of their power. The rest of it is the manipulation, the education.
I want to talk about
media.
It. I want to talk about it. Maybe after the break.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, because they're going to be cutting us off here in just about a minute or so. So we will pick this conversation up on the other side, that's for sure. You can call in after the hour at 530-605-4567. This is KCNR 1460.
All right, Cuba Sabe, hour two of Sovereign Minds is up next here at KCNR Shasta Redding.
With SRN News, I'm Michael Harrington in Washington. With the death toll in Nepal heading toward 7,300 today, help is flooding in from all over the world. Pakistani Foreign Secretary Aziz Ahmad Chaudhry.
50-member team of doctors, surgeons, paramedics, and technicians. 38-member Pakistan Army's urban search and rescue team with the state-of-the-art equipment.
A shaft of light in the dark days following last month's earthquake. 3 survivors were found this morning in a mountain village. SRN News is partnering with Project Hope to provide emergency relief supplies to the hardest hit areas of Nepal. If you want to help, go to srnnews.com. Baltimore's mayor has lifted the citywide curfew 6 days after the death of Freddie Gray sparked riots across the city. The order for residents to stay home after 10 p.m. had been in place since Tuesday, and officials had initially planned to keep it in place through today. The protests since Monday's riots have been mostly peaceful, though. The announcement of charges against 6 officers involved in Gray's arrest has apparently eased tensions. The Senate takes up the compromise budget resolution this week. SRN's Linda Kenyon has a preview.
The budget plan, which reconciles the House and Senate's individual versions of the budget, was passed by the House on Thursday. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell says this is a good bill that balances the budget without raising taxes.
Congress is now one step closer to passing a balanced budget that supports a healthy economy, funds national defense, strengthens Medicare, and begins to tackle our debt problems without taking more money from hardworking Americans.
Opponents say the budget does not actually balance because it relies on what they call budgetary gimmicks. Linda Kenyon, SRN News, Capitol Hill.
New York City officials say a man accused of shooting a police officer in the head last night has been arrested, the officer in critical condition. This is SRN News.
Mother's Day is next week, and Pro Flowers is offering an amazing special. 100 stunning blooms for mom, plus a free glass vase for just $19.99. Go to proflowers.com, click on the blue microphone in the upper right corner, and enter the secret code 0600. But hurry, this incredible deal expires this Friday. Order now from Pro Flowers to get huge savings. You pick the delivery date, and it's guaranteed. 100 colorful blooms for mom sent fresh from the field, and guaranteed to stay fresh and beautiful for at least 7 full days for only $19.99 and will include a free glass vase. Pro Flowers has all you need for Mother's Day. But hurry, time is running out. Mother's Day is next week, and this incredible special expires this Friday. The only way to get this amazing deal is to go to proflowers.com, click on the blue microphone in the upper right corner, and enter the secret code 0600. That's Pro ProFlowers.com. Secret code 0600.
South Korea has confirmed that North Korea has detained a South Korean student from New York University, but says it's still unclear whether the 21-year-old New Jersey resident attempted to enter the North illegally. An official from Seoul's Unification Ministry says his department is still trying to get all the information on Won Moon-ju's travels and the circumstances of his arrest. North Korea's official news agency says Jun was arrested April 22nd, and he was trying to illegally enter North Korea from the Chinese side. Yemeni military officials say at least 20 Arab coalition troops landed in the southern coastal city of Aden this morning on a reconnaissance mission. The officials say the black-clad masked soldiers landed Sunday in a central area between the city's neighborhood of Al-Mansour and the airport. Helicopter gunships accompanied them. There were no reports of fighting between the Arab troops and Iranian allied Shiite rebels and their supporters. This is SRN News. Hawaii's Department of Land and Natural Resources says nearly half the coral reefs off Kauai are being affected by something called black band disease.
The disease is found globally around the tropics, but researcher Christina Runyon says this is the first outbreak in Hawaii, and it has not been reported on any other island. Runyon says the disease appears to be more prevalent when temperatures are warm, and that's a concern because sea surface temperatures are forecast to be higher this year than last.
SRN's Rich Thomason. Today is Sunday, May the 3rd, the 123rd day of 2015. There are 242 days left in the year. On this date in history, 1765, the first school of medicine in the American colonies, the Medical School of the College of Philadelphia, was founded. And on this date in 1952, the Kentucky Derby was televised nationally for the first time on CBS. This is SRN News.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Don't label us left or right.
We are Americans.
Not looking for a war, but we came to fight.
We are Americans.
Somebody's gotta stand up.
Stand up.
Somebody's gotta do what's right. We're rising cause we're fed up. Got our house in order and got yours inside.
Good second half of the hour, Sovereign Minds.
We're rocking and rolling here.
Rocking and rolling here with Payes and Danuka. I even said it maybe right that time. I apologize. We making fun of the name because I stumbled over it so bad. I was the last time, you know.
Don't you worry about
it. I had to write it down, you know. But I
missed that. Dang it!
I had a brain aneurysm or something.
Don't you worry about that.
But so we're back here, and now we're talking about. You know, how do we move forward? What do we do? We've been talking about the money. We've been talking about, you know, the politics of power, the evil in politics and why it has flourished. You know, I was just watching a video of, it just came out of Obama's brother in Kenya doing an interview with the guy who produced the, Dreams, you know, the one, not the Dreams of My Father, but the other one, you know, not the Dreams of My Father, whatever it is. And, you know, basically his own brother is saying he's ruthless and, you know, because he was getting involved with the family. And then all of a sudden he just, you know, as soon as he got elected or whatever it was, boom, he just ignored them all and he wouldn't help them with anything. So I don't know.
There's that evil piece.
But let's get back to the money. The point being is that, you know, if you become a politician and you don't act like you're a friend of the people, how long do you think you're going to be in power? If you don't smile and kiss babies, do you think, you know, and tell everybody that they're going to get free cell phones and, you know, you get the free cheese and, and everybody's going to be prosperous. Remember the lady, I was going to pay my mortgage, you know, and now all of a sudden, 8 years later, 6 years later, what are we doing? We're rioting.
Well, from old Roman Republican Empire, the most important thing politicians gave to the plebs was bread and circus. Give them bread and give them circus, and then you can rule them.
Yeah, because then they keep you keep them entertained and you keep them fed.
And that's all you need to do.
And they'll be happy people little
are,
people.
Right. And that's eventually that's what brought the Roman Republic down.
Right.
Because
well,
people lost the way with that.
Entitlements became a part of the plan as far as, you know, everybody wanted to get free cheese. And how do you pay for free cheese all the time? Well, they eventually started debasing the currency. And this goes so far back, it's incredible, into China. So they would start melting down the silver. Instead of having pure silver coins, you know, they would melt down the silver and they'd be 50% silver and 50% lead.
It works well as long as nobody moves your cheese.
Well, the problem is that as long as you keep debasing the currency like that, at some point in time, you don't have silver anymore. You have lead,
yeah.
And people wake up and go, "Why are we?
I'm broke,
and all I have is a big pile,
and I
of
have
lead.
No cheese, and I have no cheese.
That's the problem. I mean, Thatcher,
you lose
said.
Both. You lose your liberty as well as your cheese.
Yes, you do.
Well, that's what Margaret
eventually.
Thatcher said. Is socialism, you know, was great as long until you ran out of everybody else's money,
other people's money, right.
Other people's mm-hmm. money, and that's what we're talking about. So we always go back to the money because I see it as the total root. So, you know, if you don't have the sound money, you will, you know, you got to have liberty and everything that we talked about. But if you don't have sound money, you will soon lose your liberty because it's one of the tenets of taking over a country is debasing the morality and debasing the currency.
So I want to elaborate a little bit more on this. Just you took an example of silver, that how they are accumulating silver. Still, they're keeping the price down.
Right.
But not letting it go up until they have their own share.
Right.
Let's just take an example in a plain sight right now. Take oil. Oil has fluctuated in last 10, 20, 30 years from $30 all the way to $160 and coming down and swinging in between.
Right.
So what's the real price of oil? The real price of oil, of course, is supposed to be determined by the people.
Free market.
Free market when they buy and supply and demand meet. But do you really believe that's what the price is?
No.
Just in a plain sight, who sets the oil price? Oil's price is basically the oil market. The for setting the price is made in mostly in Europe, Vienna and all that. And OPEC, oil producing cartel, is based in Vienna. And Saudi Arabia calls the shots. And the reason Saudi Arabia calls the shots is because they have the most surplus oil. So a lot of countries produce oil, but they don't produce enough to export a lot. The most surplus oil is present with Saudi Arabia. Other countries like Iran, Venezuela, they're dependent on their oil export for their economy. But Saudi Arabia has so much extra surplus. So what they do is they decide through OPEC whether to cut down the production or not. So what they decided last year was when oil prices were going down, a lot of other countries like Iran and Venezuela, they wanted to cut down the production to keep the prices up. Saudi Arabia decided not to do that. So that's why, despite of more oil being produced in America through shale oil, the prices are artificially kept low.
Right.
So right now,
they're trying to put the shale oil guys out of business.
Exactly. So why was that done? And my feeling is,
and it's working.
The reason was because America was suddenly, in last 5-10 years, it was undercurrent. Then suddenly everybody said, wow, that's an oil glut. We can export it. And when you export American oil, what does that mean? Number one, we are not dependent on the country's oil producing country. So we are geopolitically more secure. The second thing is our economy booms. People have more energy and they can innovate more. So the chances of human progress is more. The third thing is, when the oil flows from America to other countries, then we can have a better trade balance.
Yeah,
right now, we're in a trade deficit.
Bob, I just sent you an email, of Jim Cramer on market rigging. Maybe you can key that up while we're talking about this.
Yeah. So they kept the oil price artificially down, and they're still keeping it artificially down. The whole objective is to kill the small producers of oil in America. They don't want to kill the American production of oil. You have to keep that in mind.
Sure.
What they want to do is to control the oil production in few hands. So what happened in American shale oil?
I wonder if this had anything to do with the Clinton's charitable foundation and getting some of those key donations while they were in Saudi Arabia.
I'm sure, but we don't know about that with certainty. So most of the American production of shale oil has been small companies. And if you see in last 12 months, prices have been kept down artificially. So a lot of these companies have gone either out of business, or if you see 100,000 jobs have been lost in oil production in last year, 100,000 jobs.
Wow.
So and that has effect on economy. A lot of they have the oil producing wells in America have been cut down to 50%.
Yeah, but then isn't that good for our economy? Because then the unemployment rate goes down.
Right. So the whole why you have to see the design of it. The design of it, which I feel is to force those small bits, those small oil producing businesses in large hands,
right?
Either in the hands of large multinational companies,
yep,
or in the hands of large oil producing countries,
right? Gee, like OPEC and Saudi Arabia,
or large oil companies, right, so that they can actually gobble these companies, the small businesses, which were actually being the true American businesses.
They buy them up at a low price.
So what I call this is a Walmartization of oil,
right,
which happened before, which is happening again, and that's the whole objective.
And these guys would never rig the markets or anything, would they? I mean, Bob, go ahead and hit the soundbite on that. And, I mean, this is Jim Cramer on MSNBC. And, of course, I think he's kind of a dope. But even he gets it right once in a while. Go ahead and play it there,
Bob.
We go
to Stuart in New York now. Stuart.
Hey, Jim, how you doing these days?
I'm not doing badly, thank you. How about you?
Okay, I got a question for you. There seems to be a currency crisis in the world. Gold is soaring in every currency but the U.S. Is there a conspiracy here to keep gold down? And Gold Corp, one of the best gold stocks, is giving a dividend greater than the 10-year treasury. What is your recommendation going forward on Gold Corp and the miners?
Well, I mean, you know what? There would have been a time where I would have just laughed about that conspiracy thing, but I can't anymore. It doesn't seem like everything's been rigged. The currency was rigged. The bonds were rigged. LIBOR was rigged. What didn't they rig? Oil they rigged. Nat gas they rigged. So did they rig gold? You know what? You know what, Stuart? I'm going to say I don't know. Hey, maybe they have. Maybe that's the next big Justice Department investigation. In the meantime, I like Randgold, but you know what? Maybe you're right. Maybe it's rigged.
Yeah. So the thing to take away from that is not so much the gold thing there, but he's admitting that LIBOR, oil.
if you see, how is the gold price fixed?
Right.
Gold price is fixed in London.
Right.
Every day, four major banks, executives, meet or talk and conference twice a day to set the gold price. Do you really think that they really care about you or me?
Oh, yeah.
Sure they do.
I'm getting letters from the London Bullion Market every day that they care.
So what I'm coming to that is the whole thing is how to control the economy. The purpose of all this is to control the economy in few hands. We call it oligarchy.
Yeah.
It may take any form. It may take a form of Russian USSR experiment of socialism and communism, or it may take a form of crony capitalism, which we have in America right now.
Yeah.
So, in one or other form, it's an oligarchy to centralize the resources. And ironically, I'm going to quote Karl Marx here. Karl Marx, of course, is someone who was the inspiration behind USSR, socialism, and communism. Having said that, his solutions were absolutely wrong. However, some of his analysis, you have to really think critically and think about it. One of the things he said was that in capitalism, and I will call it crony capitalism, what they do is they have a lot of production. But after the production is a lot, who's going to buy that stuff?
Right.
So they have to reduce the production. Or they have to increase the demand. And that's how they control it. But beyond a point, they are not able to do it. So what right now the central bankers are doing is they're trying to increase the demand of their supplies by inflating the dollar, inflating the currency, by printing more money and asking people to buy it. That's effectively what they're doing. They want us to buy more of their products. But beyond a point, it cannot be done.
Yeah, because we're in a deflationary cycle because this has gone on too long, and they've disrupted the supply and demand chain so much that with their cronyism that it's no longer a free market. So what's happening is the free market is unwinding, thus the economic financial catastrophe that's coming, because after you do this for so long with their cronyism, everything falls apart on production.
So what the socialism and communists did was they said, yeah, that's what is done, so we are going to control it. And they managed to control the economy in USSR. And we know the result. What happened? Nothing worked. Everything was either wasted, stolen, corrupted, or just simply thrown away. But it didn't work for the people. It didn't work for the individuals. This is what is being done again now. What they're trying to do is a centralization of economic resources. And to do that, they need to control the currency. They need to control the energy. The whole debate about fossil fuel is about that, to control the energy. Because what do individuals need to have a good life? We need energy. We need energy to move from one place to another. We need energy to produce anything. We need energy to learn anything. And if you control that, then you control the people. How do you control that? By controlling the markets of energy, by controlling the market of finances, by producing the money out of thin air. And what they create is, but you have to understand one more thing. How do you do that? Concepts are fine, but how do you actually execute it? To do that, they need to centralize things in few hands.
Yep.
And what I call is, they have to create the institutions or organizations which are too big to fail, too big to be good. I call them too big to be good.
Too big not to be evil.
So whether it's too big a government or whether it's too big of a corporation,
yeah,
they're both evil.
Well, and to expand on what you just said, okay, they control the energy, but what else are they looking to control? Does anybody see a control issue on the water here in the future? Does anybody see a control issue on the food here in the near future? Because without the water, you can't grow the food. And are they controlling the weather? Who knows at this point? They're rigging everything.
Hey, I'm a physician. Control of health. It just happened in the last 5 years.
Yes.
So if you want to have no say-so over your whole life, let's just keep handing it over to these guys. What we need is people to start running for office, to get involved in the local politics, to start putting
the right people.
The right people, not just stepping up to the plate and promising everybody everything, but supplant these guys locally so that we start following the tenets of liberty, so we're not losing control at the local level. That's where it has to start. Because the local guys have given over control to the state and the feds.
Yes.
So when you're talking about how to rule hundreds of millions of people, you have to understand, these people think differently. This is what they live, this is what they sleep, this is what they breathe, this is what they dream of. How do I rule 300 million people?
Yeah.
And to do that, they have to convert the people into numbers first. They think in terms of numbers. Okay, how many votes? 100 million, 50 million, 20 million. They don't care about Lindia. They don't care about Ma. They don't care about Bob. They don't care about Payush Dhanuka. They don't care about whether you're Afro-American or whether you're black or white or green or yellow or red. But they see the numbers. And they know these numbers are actually individuals which can be threat to their power. So how do they go from point A to B? How do they rule them? By dividing them. Uh-huh. By dividing them in different sectors. It could be black versus white. It could be 1% versus 99%. It could be urban versus rural.
Democrat versus Republican.
Uh-huh. It could be American versus Mexicans. It could be whatever it is. They must divide us first. And once they do that, then they brainwash us in that ideology even further. And that's why I used the word initially, that the individual sovereignty versus collective tyranny. They give us the identity of a collective identity I'm no longer Payush Dhanuka. I am an Indian American. I have a hyphenated identity according to them. Somebody else may be an Afro-American. Somebody else may be a Mexican-American. Somebody else may be an urban-American. And that collective identity is our problem. And we can blame all we want, and we can say that, oh, politicians are to be blamed, but, you know, we have to look inside.
I agree.
We have to look inside. How do we allow ourselves to be brainwashed with that kind of politics?
Just keep watching TV.
That is their
keep
tool.
Keep sending your kids to public school.
That's their mechanism. But if you see what's happening in Baltimore right now, is it really a black issue? Well, out of the six officers who were charged with
three were
Afro-Americans.
Yeah, three were black.
So how come it's a black versus white issue? Is it a police versus non-police issue? Well, wait a second. Why do we have to put our young man in a situation where they have to confront the average citizens for stupid nonsense things like selling cigarettes without tax in Staten Island?
It's a right versus wrong, a freedom versus enslavement.
And we're back to morality.
But yeah. So when you put the police in the situation of trying to execute your millions of laws and regulations, which make no sense.
Right.
And the sole purpose of those millions of regulations and laws is to control people. And then we tell a cop that, no, you go and execute this. A legislator doesn't execute it. And we put that cop in a situation, in a street, in a confrontation, which is absolutely not required.
Right.
Then we are doing a disservice to that cop. Mm-hmm. At the same time, we are creating a disenchantment, a distrust amongst the public. And that's why we have too many rules and regulations, but we don't execute them. We execute them at will. Whose will it is? It is the will of the executor, which is our federal government or a state government.
Right.
But how come that's happening? How come it's not happening that we are executing it right? Because we are not government any longer.
Right.
That's the problem. We, the people, were supposed to be the rulers. And the government or the governing people were supposed to be our servants. What happened is they are not us anymore.
Yeah. And they are not us. And they don't even care what we have to say
because
anymore.
Because they are not us. Because we don't have any power anymore. We have become their servants. And until that changes, all these problems, what we mentioned before, all that video mentioned before, they will keep happening until we understand that we have to recapture that power.
Recapture our morality.
And the morality.
Absolutely. Recapture our morality, our heritage, our founding
documents.
And
doing that, we will have the power. It will automatically happen once you do that. I guess with that, we need to go to a break and pick up this conversation on the other side.
Every once in a while.
This is KCNR 1460, home of the Free Fire Media.
Junk science that wouldn't even meet the standards of a high school science fair. California Air Resources Board and the Environmental Protection Agency have written regulations that are devastating the California economy. They are costing people their jobs, their homes, their livelihoods, and their families. This must be stopped. Help us continue the fight against CARB. Go to standandfightclubinc.com now and contribute to keep the fight going.
Whatever you're cooking smells good, Ma. Where's Dad?
I don't know. I think he's in the garage. Hey, tell him it's time for dinner.
Left step.
Nice heels, Dad. What are you doing?
I'm practicing for the walk a mile in her shoes.
What is that?
Every 90 seconds in this country, a woman is sexually assaulted. It's time for men like us to say no more. The walk a mile in her shoes is a call to men to educate and engage our community about a very serious subject to take action in preventing sexualized violence.
What can I do to help?
Every man should join us on Saturday, May 9th at 10 a.m. for the Walk a Mile in Her Shoes to benefit One Safe Place. Do like I did, son. Get a bunch of your friends together and visit the One Safe Place website at ospshasta.org and register for the walk. And here, I happen to have another pair of heels.
Left step, right step.
You guys make me so proud.
Please join the Walk a Mile chairman, Joe Comenti, and his family for the Walk a Mile in Her Shoes event Saturday, May 9th in downtown Reading.
Reading Rodeo Week is quickly approaching, and the festivities start with the biggest little stake feed under the stars, happening May 9th, 2015. Gates open at 5:30 to dinner, dancing, and live entertainment by the Billies. Tickets are available now for the stake feed and the Reading Rodeo. Grab them at readingrodeo.com or stop in to the rodeo box office.
You've got to help me. I don't know if I'm going crazy or if my car is possessed. Don's Deck for Coachmaster Collision Repair. The owner's ordeal began after a collision repair, resulting in a car that had a mind of its own. It would suddenly pull violently left or right, but only when he was alone. He had taken the car back to the shop that repaired it. It was test driven 8 times. Nothing happened. Nobody believes me. They look at me like I'm crazy. Just minutes before he arrived at Coachmaster, the pulling struck again. My inspection revealed necessary framework and wheel alignment had not been corrected from the collision. At Coachmaster, we stock hundreds of blueprints. With this evidence, we proved the owner was not crazy and the car was not possessed. The insurance company authorized us to correct the vehicle. Coachmaster, Collision Repair, Redding, California.
Relive the glitz, glamour, and glorious music of the 70s and 80s at the Cascade Theater as the Riverfront Playhouse Capital Campaign presents Remember When Rock Was Young, the Elton John tribute starring Craig A. Meyer and the Rocket Band. A celebration of the character, costumes, and charisma of the famed pianist and singer, this fully produced show will captivate you on Thursday, May 7th. Call 243-8877 for ticket information or log on to cascadetheater.org for one unforgettable evening you'll remember when rock was young.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Freedom tastes like honey. Why would you spit it out? Would you give it up for the money? Or how about political clout? Would you give it up for security in the face of a rising storm? Or would you face a danger, trade in your anger, unite and become one?
Yep. That one goes out to Mike Smith. It's a great song. And, you know, we wanted to put it on the air there and...
Well, before we go past that, let's remind everybody that we heard him and that you will be speaking at the Corning Tea Party on Thursday
about
the Federal Reserve. So get it in there while we're talking about them great folks down there.
There you have it. So, yeah, I just show up when everybody tells me. Everybody just writes it in the calendar. I look at the calendar and says, oh, there, that's where I'm going today. So there you have it. So what else can we talk about here? We've talked about J.P. Morgan and the boys, the Too Big to Fail. You know, we've got – you know, we could talk about the Trans-Pacific Partnership a little bit. You know, what do we got? We got somebody, a caller on the line there.
Billy Bob on the line from Palo Cedro with a quick comment.
Sure. Are you there, Bill?
Yeah. Hey, guys. Great show as usual, Mark.
Thank you.
Linda.
Thank you.
You do a fantastic job. You are absolute patriots, and you are to be commended, and probably after they string you up, we can run that.
Well, all I can say is don't bring a knife to a gunfight.
Exactly right. No, I enjoyed you. I enjoyed you on Pete Peter's show yesterday morning also. So.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Okay, a quick comment, and Pyrrhus Danuka, what a great guy you are, and what a perspective you give us stupid Americans.
No, thank you. I just to intervene, please. I whatever I've learned from America. So it's America speaking through me.
Yes, but you coming back with your perspective of your upbringing and everything else, plus your professional accomplishments, you are... also a patriot and American and not hyphenated. So anyway, and then I just wanted to give you a little insight, Mark, we got a little local problem, and there, you've been talking theoretics and all this and this, and it's all good and well, but we've got a local problem, and everybody says we got to bring it back locally to solve it. This board of supervisors are a bunch of dunces. I mean, they won't even listen to the state of Jefferson. They won't do this. They don't do that. Not one of them holds a town hall. I have never had any indication that town halls are being held.
I'm pretty sure Bill Chappelle has up there in Lakehead, and I'm pretty sure that that is the case. But and he's one of the supervisors that I do approve of. But you're right. In general, I think you're right. I think they only comply with something that is politically expedient for themselves within the stuff that's presented. You're right. They don't care about what the general public.
Well, that Baugh guy, there's no city halls being held regularly. The guys with the state of Jefferson travel more miles and spend more of their own money trying to give us liberty and freedom in this state. And these local politicians sitting on their fat asses, excuse me, but okay, so here's the news. We are going to have a ground war this year. This is the grapevine speaking. That ordinance to outlaw outdoor grow, I've been a local for years and years. I've got the inside. Watch out.
Wow.
Watch out. There, you used to talk about civil disobedience. It's coming.
Wow.
And it's going to be serious, and it ain't going to be pretty. So, hey, great show. I'll let you guys go.
All right.
Thanks,
well,
Billy
thank
Bob.
You for calling in.
Thanks for that. You know, we've got so many things to cover. I it's just unbelievable, you know, because the mainstream is not doing its job on any of this stuff. And, you know, we don't have watchdogs. We have lapdogs. And so we do the best we can. I got a thing on the chat room from Mike and Patty asking about the Import-Export Bank. We'll try to cover that on another day when I'm a little more prepared to do that. Right now what I want to do is cover, because we're in the last half hour here, I want to cover a little bit about the Trans-Pacific Partnership. What the president, you know, this comes from techdirt.com. And the title of the article is President Obama Demands Critics Tell Him What's Wrong with the Trans-Pacific Partnership. Of course, we can't do that because he won't show us the agreement. So, you know, and another one of his transparency moves.
The
most transparent administration in the history of the world, according to these guys. So the thing is that he insists that it's unfair to compare the TPP, kind of sounds like, you know, taxpayers' paper, but it's the Trans-Pacific Partnership to NAFTA. You know, TP sounds, you know, like we should be doing something with it besides, anyway. Because they're, you know, but you compare he's saying they're completely different deals. Sorry, I digress. Anyway, you need to tell me what's wrong with the trade agreement, he's saying. Not one was passed 25 years ago. Not the one that was passed 25 years ago. Well, Mr. President, I would love to do that, is what the writer of the article says, but I can't, because you and your USTR haven't released the damn text. So what happens is that evidently the Congress can look at it, but they can't get the text, and they can't photograph the text. So they can come in and look at the text, you know, wherever they're displaying it at, but they can't do anything with it. So nobody knows what's in it. And, of course, we talked about the fast track. You know, there was a little bit on that with USA Watchdog and Greg Hunter. So does anybody think that we should give the President of the United States, Barack Hussein Obama, fast-track authority to make agreements with other foreign governments on our sovereignty and our trade? Does anybody have a problem with that besides me?
All right, move on.
Yep, just move along.
Please disperse. Nothing to see here, please.
Thanks, Bob.
You think there might be just a little bit of a problem with that?
Has anybody heard anything about this in depth from the mainstream media?
Haven't really heard anything about it at all.
We need the organ music, Bob, because, you know, is there such a thing anymore that the mainstream media covers any of this stuff? Is there any investigative reporting out there anymore? Now we got the Phantom of the Opera.
Spooky.
So, just saying that the Congress, you know, can't actually see the document. It's, you know, but it's tremendously misleading. You know, the members of Congress are allowed to walk over to the USTR and see a copy of the latest text, but they're not allowed to take notes, make copies, or bring any of their staff members. In other words, they can only read the document and keep what's remembered in their heads, and they can't have their staff members, folks who often really understand the details there, to explain what's really going on. And again, the transparency is staggering.
Almost sounds like Hillary.
I have a question here.
Go ahead.
That, of course, no one man should have the power to execute this. But why should even a few hundred men have power to execute this?
I agree.
Why shouldn't the trade should be truly free? Let the trade flow according to the people's needs and supply and demand across the globe, as long as that it doesn't hurt our national sovereignty and security.
I agree with that totally, but that's the ultimate problem is that this is not about free trade.
I agree. That's what I'm saying. Why should we have a special trade treaties and arrangements
with somebody
as a federal government doing that? Why can't the people do it, the trade themselves?
Well, and look what. Well, exactly.
Because we don't know better.
Well, look at the past.
They'll tell you.
Look at the past. Look what NAFTA did. Look what these other trade agreements did. It shipped all of our products and manufacturing overseas. And so there's cronyism going on here. And we've got the best government that money can buy right now. All you have to do is look at the.
That's true.
It's true. I mean, look at Hillary Clinton, and she's running for president. And is Barack Obama cut from the same cloth?
Well, just like we were talking at the beginning of the show, you know, they tell us that they're doing it for our own good and we got to do this and that. At the same time, they're doing exactly the opposite. They're not doing it for us.
And at the same time, if you go and these people are talking about these trade agreements, at the same time, they are increasing the rule of their own iron fist over our lives. I mean, if you see the example of asset seizures. If I can bring to the subject, I want to mention that for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the reason I wanted to bring that is asset seizure has been a big issue.
Civil asset forfeiture.
Forfeiture. Civil asset forfeiture has been such an issue which has been under the radar. And also, there are, I don't know how many crimes each one of us commits every day. If there has been studies about this, so many laws and regulations that each one of us unknowingly, unintentionally commits some or other crime.
Which that's right out of 1984. You know, basically, if they make everything illegal, they can arrest you arbitrarily anytime they feel like it.
And with the civil asset forfeiture, they can actually make you poor. They can take away fruits of your labor even without having you convicted.
Right.
So you're like guilty.
Well, do you know what they do? What they do actually in civil assets forfeiture, because I've been kind of doing some stories on is that they actually charge the property
exactly.
not the person. Like, so they come in to grandma's house and they say, "Grandma, we're not charging you, but your 14-year-old son brought some dope in here, and so we're charging the house.
And the house has no civil rights now.
Yeah.
The house has no bill of rights, so house has to prove its innocence.
Yeah, so the house has to get an attorney. Yeah. Well, wait a minute. How's the house going to get an attorney? And so what happens is they tie this up in court so long that the people acquiesce to the system.
Exactly.
With no due process, because how do you fight City Hall becomes the mantra.
And then unlike our basic freedom principle, the house or the property is guilty until proven innocent.
How do you do that?
And what the reality is, it's not the house which is getting affected. It's me which is getting affected. It's individual which is getting affected. Our basic right is speaking. What really really upsets me is that this has been an issue under the radar for a long time, and so has been the issue of over-regulations, heavy sentencing, long sentencing, and it has really adversely affected Afro-Americans, and that's one of the issues which has been an issue
it
lately.
Goes to property, and I was going to bring this up on the Baltimore thing. When I said yesterday on Pete Peter's show that that you know what the rule on looters is typically, is you shoot them. Now, that sounds harsh. But think about this for a second. It's not about the property rights is not about the property itself. It's about the ability to acquire property rights, because if a looter can go in and destroy a person's life by stealing everything he owns with no repercussions, it's not about the property itself. It's about the right to acquire property. And if you don't say, you know, with a heavy hand that you can't do this, this will not be allowed, period, then what you're saying is that no property rights matter.
It's about the fruits of my labor.
Absolutely.
So it's about me. At the same time, what I was going to bring up is that there's a lot of, if you see our war on drugs, if you see our issues about that everything is illegal and people are being sentenced for a long time.
Sure.
For minimal reasons. Right. And what that does is, that does two things. You have to realize one thing. Number one, the soft minor crime which brings the people in the prison. In the prison, they become hardened criminal, and they become even worse than they came in for.
Right.
The second thing it does is they have no prospects left afterwards. They cannot get a job. The third thing it does is it breaks down their family.
Right.
And then when men are in the prison, children are at home without any older man, what do? They become directionless.
Right.
And that's what is happening in places
like
Baltimore.
Well, that's why I think the war on drugs is such a failure, and it's such a baloney deal.
So what I really wanted to emphasize this, if you give me
sure.
I just saw this. Hillary Clinton comes out and says that we have to change the sentencing guidelines, we have to change these things, and we have to – and what really bugs me is that they have benefited from black votes for decades.
Yeah.
Overwhelmingly, Clintons have been in power for last 20 years, and they have done nothing to solve that.
They don't want to solve it.
Barack Obama has been in power for 6 years plus. First Afro-American man who wins the presidency. Attorney General, who's black. Democratic Party is in control of both the Congress and Senate and the presidency. They could have solved these problems for Afro-Americans. What did they do? They go after the health care law.
Right.
They go after an emergency which they created out of nothing. And they did nothing to solve the problems which are truly faced by Afro-Americans, whether it's jobs, whether it's broken family, whether it is heavy sentencing, whether it is war on drugs, which has failed everybody. However, they go after the health care law to create an artificial emergency. It's pathetic that they could have done it, they didn't do it. But what's more pathetic is that we get brainwashed by their ideology.
Right, absolutely.
And we vote based on our collective identity.
Well, that's why the war on drugs is such a good example. Who wants to do drugs? No, do we want everybody doing drugs? Of course not. I'm not for drugs. I'm against the war on drugs. What I'm saying is freedom is messy. And if you want to fix the problem, get back to morality.
Yes.
Get back to individual personal responsibility,
family,
and education to understand that drugs are bad for you. But you can't have the government come in at the federal level and take control of everything because you're centralizing the power again. It should be at the local level, not the federal level. And they're using it as a tool to control our local police departments, just like they want to federalize the police. What is Jade Helm all about? Every one of these issues is about getting the control into the hands of the centralized government. It's not about solving the problem on drugs. Have they solved the problem on drugs?
No, it's about the money.
It's about the money.
They want the money.
And what they do is they filter that money into our local sheriff's office, our local police.
And they become dependent on it.
They become dependent on it. And all they say, well, they don't put any strings on it. Well, just you don't think there's any strings on the money? Pull the plug on the money.
It comes from the government.
At the same time, they put our young man and woman in police also in a bad situation.
Right.
Because they make them confront these situations which need not be created in first place.
Right.
Right.
Exactly, because smoking a joint is like drinking a glass of alcohol.
You do whatever you want. Make sure you cannot sell it to the kids.
Exactly. Make sure you're not driving.
Make sure you're not driving. Yeah. And you're not hurting anyone under the influence.
Right.
And then it's up to the family.
But then to see what they do is it's a gateway drug. Well, so's drinking carnation milk. You know, I mean, because you could relate anything. You could say that when I was a kid,
exactly.
I grew up drinking milk. So, and then I went to drugs. I went to harder stuff. I went to heroin. Well, you can't have guys having heroin. Well, wait a minute. You know, they're having it anyway. You're not stopping them.
It doesn't deter them at all.
So, who's in control of your body? The federal government or you? Well, is it better that the federal government controls your body or you? It's common sense. It's better that you control your body. You what you put in it, you should treat it like a temple.
And that has to come from morality. That has to come from the family teaching the kids the good values. And the good value is only two. Number one, take care of yourself. Number two, love others. And if we emphasize that through our family, through our, whether it's your church, whether it's your school system which you create, whether you have it in a family, whether you had on a playground, if we have that, then the system can stay good for all of us. However, if we let the central government, especially in a large country, control everything, we are going to lose both.
Yep.
We're going to lose our liberty.
You can see it.
And we're going to lose our bread
now.
Also.
We're losing it. Because
we're slipping away now.
We're losing it because most of the kids come out of school dumbed down to the point they don't understand the basic concepts of liberty. That the basic concept of liberty is, like you said, the golden rule and personal responsibility, you know, and taking care, self-reliance, taking care of yourself, not having, you know, gee, the government comes in and says, here's the free cheese. And by the way, if you smoke a joint, we're going to put you in prison for 10 years.
But that's the problem, like you're saying, with the family and everything, that the government is actually controlling the family now.
Government is actually breaking the family.
Right.
Yes.
And a lot of people don't realize it.
And we're not anti-government. We're anti-centralized government. We're pro-constitutional republic and personal responsibility. There's a huge difference.
And then we lose our jobs also. Then we lose our cheese also. Then we lose our bread also. We just don't lose our liberty. And the government has to be us. The problem right now is we are not the government any longer.
Well, that's the problem. And we've lost track of our spiritual morality along the way. When I was a kid, everybody went to church. I don't care if you're religious or not, but the tenets of the teaching of morality in a free society is necessary for everybody to live a civilized good life.
But the family unit is all destroyed with that now because they're too busy, you know, whether it's soccer or, you know, their priorities have
out
of whack. Don't get me wrong.
Right.
I love sports.
I love
But
I
that's
love
all they live
basketball.
And breathe right. and they don't pay but, attention but to what's going on.
Playing sports is still okay. How about watching sports on TV forever?
Right.
The problem is when all you care about
is
sports.
That's what I'm saying.
And
the family is not just a mother and father. Family is also our neighbor. Family is also our school. Family is our friends. And what's happening right now is in a huge, big system, everybody becomes a number.
The sister's
teachers.
Family too? No, I forget about that.
Teachers, for the schools, kids are numbers. For the healthcare system, patients are just numbers.
Right.
We are no longer human beings. When I see a patient in my office, when they meet me in Costco somewhere, they look into my eyes, I look into their eyes, we shake hands, they're human beings to me. To a bureaucrat in Washington, D.C. or in Sacramento, does he see? Numbers on a screen.
Or
money, whether it's just a number or money.
Or on Court Street. Or let's get local.
Yeah,
or on Court Street.
Same thing you can apply to school system.
Right.
When Washington, D.C. or Sacramento dictated, it's all numbers.
We got to go to a break.
Okay. And we'll come back with numbers after the break. If you want to call in, it's 530-605-4567. This is KCNR 1460, Community Radio for the North State.
Oh Lord,
thanks to citizens like you and your contributions to StandAndFightClubInc.com, January 30th and 31st, the first steps were taken to push back the California Air Resource Board and their regulations that are devastating the California economy. But now is not the time to give up the fight. Now is time to double down. Go to StandAndFightClubInc.com and you keep the contributions going and we'll keep the punches coming.
Hi, I'm Kayla, and they call me the Mouse.
And I'm Red, they call me the Bear. How's California working out for you? Want to change it for the better?
Wake up to your chemical sunrise and tune in to the Jefferson State of Mind.
We'll be discussing representation, regulations, and restoring our republic.
Catch us here every Sunday morning from 8 to 9.
On KCNR 1460.
I feel no shame, I'm proud of where I came from. I was born and raised in the boondocks.
This is Carl and Linda Bott. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 to 9 a.m. for Free Fire Radio right here on KCNR 1460. If you're thinking about it, we're talking about it. On Monday, we welcome James Masada and Rhonda Ball from Enjoy the Magazine, and let's find out what's going on in our great northern region. Other topics is what happened over the weekend, including those great golf tournaments, any more riots, and anything else we think of. All of this Monday, right here, KCNR 1460. Miss a day, miss a lot.
Summer is here and it's time to enjoy the great outdoors. Whether you're headed to the lake, Bernie Falls, going fishing, or throwing a barbecue, Mighty Fine Foods is your one-stop shop for summer fun. Stop by the meat department for the best prices around and try our own country sausage made in-store. Mighty Fine has over 1,000 drinks to choose from, and we barbecue every Friday all summer long. So pick up a tri-tip, rack of ribs, barbecue chicken, or a Polish dog. Stop by the deli for fried chicken or a sandwich made just the way you like it. We are a locally owned and operated family company at 299 and Deschutes in Bella Vista. Mighty Fine Foods, your one-stop shop on the way to the lake.
If you are running your own business, you already know that if there are 1,000 items on your to-do list, you really have 3,000 things to get done. Success in business is in the details. You need help. Let the smart professionals at Five Star Bank help you take care of those financial details. Yes, smart people doing good business. Life is 10% of what happens to us and 90% of how we react to it. Be positive. Those at the top of the mountain did not fall there. Visit us at Five Star Bank and let us show you how we specialize in emerging business and commercial real estate. Five Star Bank also specializes in hard work, working hard for those that believe that success is just on the other side of the next opportunity. Thomas Jefferson was a great believer in opportunity, for he found that the harder he worked, the more he had of it. Your time is as valuable as your success. So visit us at Five Star Bank, 358 Hartnell in Reading, or call Eric Woodstrom at 223-6652. Online at fivestarbank.com. Five Star Bank, professional, progressive, and personal. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
KCNR, 1460 AM, the most local programming in Northern California.
Sovereign Mind Radio, home of the Free Fire.
I could just keep listening to that one.
Give me some shelter, you bet. You know, we've been doing a lot of stuff here, and we've talked, we covered a lot of ground, and, you know, because we're passionate about what we're talking about. And besides that, we do investigative reporting here. That was all about you, Sally.
There you go, Miss Sally.
With that, we have about 5 minutes left, and I'm going to let Payush take over here and talk about personal responsibility, freedom, what the solution is, the key to all of this.
Thank you. First of all, again, you're giving me a big responsibility, and I hope I can live up to that. I see myself as an ordinary citizen, average citizen, who has been lucky enough to get a chance to come to this country. And when I came here for single purpose, to hope to give my kids, my children, a better life than I could give them elsewhere. And that happened when my first daughter was born. Before that, I was a boy, and she made me grow up to try to be a man. And I thought, how will I give this little girl a better life than I could give her here? And only place to go to was America. And boy, yes, it worked out. It has given me a lot. I have benefited from it immensely. But in the process, I have also learned from it, as I discussed in the beginning of the show, what makes certain civilizations, certain places better, certain places great. And the answer is in Founding Fathers' documents. The answer is in their struggle, in their the blood this gave to bring this country to the reality. And it has become a leading light for the rest of the world. It has really inspired people all over the world. A lot of people may be envious of us, but they have been inspired by it. And what I feel is, the if you can distill it, again, I go back to the Declaration of Independence, second line, that all men are created equal by the Creator with certain inalienable rights. Amongst them is life, liberty, justice, and pursuit of happiness. The liberty for all, not for one person, for each person, not for the mob, not for the collective people, not for the collective justice, not for collective identities, but individual justice, individual liberty, individual sovereignty versus a collective tyranny. So we have to pull out ourselves out of the collective identity and focus on individual liberty. At the same time, as Marx has again and again emphasized so rightly, that liberty is just more than simple freedom. It's actually the liberty with free morality. So we understand that individual liberty and individual responsibility is the key to success to this country and is the leading light for the future. However, we got to have a plan. We need to have a clarity, but we also need to have an executing plan. And what I think at this point, government is no longer us. And we need to change that. We need to start from there. We need to change our career politicians. We need to bring the people themselves into the government, and then the government can function.
I think we got about 20 seconds left. We really appreciate you having you on the show. It's a great show. And I have to say it, it's that time. Remember, amateurs built the Ark. Professionals built the Titanic. Government is not reason. It is not eloquence. It is force. And force like fire is a dangerous servant and a fearful master. You've been listening to Sovereign Mind Radio, where we put principles above parties.
And this has been KCNR 1460, home of the community radio.
Thank you for having me.
No, thank you.
KCNR, Shasta Redding.
Returning to normal, perhaps. Mayor Stephanie Rawlings-Blake has lifted the citywide curfew nearly a week after violence erupted following the funeral of Freddie Gray, who died of injuries he suffered in police custody. Meanwhile, Baltimore Police Commissioner Anthony Batts says the legal system will decide the fate of the six officers charged in the death.
The case is in the hands of the state's attorney. We will allow, and I will allow, the process to proceed. And now we will have the confidence that the truth will come out and the truth will overcome for all.
A day of prayer being marked in Baltimore today. The New York City police officer, Brian Moore, in critical but stable condition this morning after being shot by a suspect on Saturday.
Officer Moore positioned the vehicle behind the suspect and inquired about the suspect's actions. The male immediately removed a firearm from his waistband and turned in the direction of the officers and deliberately